Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Sam.
And I'm Erica. We are the Sugarcraft Junkies and this is our podcast.
It's for professionals, home bakers and everyone in between. Each month we'll bring you the latest news, ones to watch and so much more.
So stay tuned.
Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. A bit hay fevery.
Yeah, you sound quite snotty, love.
Lovely, thanks.
Does that mean that it's the signs of summer approaching, though?
Yeah, but I normally get it in spring anyway, so it is quite late for me, to be honest.
Oh, is it?
Very. Like, it's normally beginning of February that it starts, as soon as like stuff starts coming out of my trees.
Oh. That's a bit grim though for you, isn't it?
Yes.
As you said, you've got to get your antihistamine.
I've got some in every bag.
Right.
But I've run out of like the cupboard supply. So I have got some in the house, but I need to go to the main supply. Yeah.
Get the year's supply in.
Well, part
of
it.
How long will it last till?
August, end of August.
Whoa. Okay, it's quite a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, so I have the cheap stuff and then I move on to the prescription stuff when the cheap stuff doesn't cut it anymore.
I like that.
And then back at the other end at the end of the season, I go back to the cheap stuff.
So when's the worst time for you?
May.
Okay.
April, May, June. Usually.
Okay. Good luck.
Thanks.
Heading into the season.
Yeah.
Well, go on then. While you're on a roll, tell us what you've been doing this month.
Okay. Well, I had my demo for Tunbridge Wells. I did my portrait cookies demo.
How did that go?
It went really well, actually. It was a really small group, which is unusual for them. They normally have quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but... it was good. I've not done my demo for probably 2 years, I think. I tested it out on my branch and then no one else has booked it, so that was that. I was like, oh god, I need to remember everything, need to do all my prep and like remember where I was, what bits I was prepping and what bits I was just gonna like do on my day.
Yeah,
so I've sent you a picture of the biscuit that I did.
I'm just opening it. That's cool.
Yeah. I went to go and see Made in Dagenham. So one of my friends from work has joined a amateur dramatics group because she used to, I think she went to stage school, as college, dance college, basically, and did musical theatre and then hasn't done it since she left.
Okay.
So it's probably been about like 20 years. So she was like desperate to get back into it and absolutely loving it. And they had a show of Made in Dagenham, which was really good. Went to go and see that, enjoyed that. And it was quite special because it was on in Ilford, which is just down the road from Dagenham, where the actual women were.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's really nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. A good story. I have been listing some of my Sugarcraft stuff on Vinted.
Ooh.
Posting bits off. So if anyone's in the market for trainers.
How are you finding selling it?
It's fine, actually.
Is it going all right?
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll definitely try that then with the remainder of my shop stock. Might be a better place to go.
Yeah, you might do. Because also you don't pay any fees as a seller.
Oh, good.
It's the buyer that pays a small surcharge.
Oh, that's good then.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, things do go cheap, but equally they go. So
yes.
I'd rather get rid than have them.
Exactly, yes.
Have you heard of God's Own Junkyard?
No.
It's a business that does neon lighting. I was thinking the word then, it's not LED. Neon lights, and they do it for films and for TV. But they're also it's also an art gallery, but there's a lot of like neon and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I went there, it's in Walthamstow.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to go for ages, but they're only open on weekends. Let me send you some pictures. They've got a little cafe in there, and it's just like, it is basically a junkyard full of lots of their work from different artists. And there's a cafe with some really cool little
tattoo-style tables.
Yeah, I sent you a handful of pictures over. But some of the artwork's amazing, and a lot of it is from films and stuff. Like, they have the Top of the Pops logos in there. They had, there's bits from, they did a little pop-up at one point in the city, and there was bits from, oh my God, I can't think of the film, some vampire film, like loads of films. I've done stuff from loads of films.
Yeah.
And a lot of it will be quite recognisable, I think.
Okay. So it's, what's it like, a museum of?
Kind of. Yeah.
Neon art.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But it's all sort of thrown in there together.
Does it cost, do they charge to go in? Or?
No, it's free. Free to walk around. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've got some nice bits in there. Nice and colourful and funny.
So how long would you spend in there, do you reckon?
Half hour, maybe. I mean, if you were having, like, something at the cafe, longer.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I've been meaning to go. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to go and have a wander around.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I bought on eBay a Speedweave, which is a little device for darning to make it quicker, basically. So you can repair holes in clothes or socks or whatever.
Right.
And it sort of holds the threads. And then there's a little switch that you flip back and forth to, like, raise and lower one of them. So you can just go straight across without having to weave under or over.
It's right.
Like a tiny, tiny little loom, basically. And I got one on eBay. They don't make them anymore. They made them from like the 1930s and 1940s.
Okay.
And it came and it was a bit grubby. So I took it apart and I restored it, I guess. Cleaned it.
Yeah.
Fixed it up. Let me send you pictures of before and after. So it was a bit... I think it was tarnished, but I think it's made of steel, so it's quite hard to get the tarnish off.
Yeah.
I had to try quite a few things. I tried...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's sort of the before and after of both bits.
Gosh, that's a bit of a difference.
Yeah, but basically you slide the little slider across and it makes the hooks face the other direction, which means that when it's got the thread sort of looped on it, it's easier to weave under and over. You can just kind of go straight across in front of the hooks. Without having to go up and down.
So I see.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm. Oh. Okay. So what's your plans for it?
Just some mending. Like, I've got a denim jacket that's basically falling apart. So I'm gonna fix that. Actually, I've got a couple of jackets that are basically falling apart. They've got holes under the arms, like at the back of the arm, as if the arm's falling off.
Yeah.
So I'm going to fix that. Possibly some socks that are falling apart, because all my socks are falling apart. So our stairs carpet is really bare.
Okay.
And we're not replacing it until the rest of the house is decorated. And it's been like that for about 15 years. So it's not going to be done anytime soon. It's pointless doing that when you're then going to be like taking dirty things up and down it.
Yeah.
So that was always going to be the last thing. But it's so bare that the gripper rods stick out.
Right.
And every single time I go up and downstairs, I will catch my socks on the stairs. So brand new socks will have holes in them within like 24 hours.
Oh.
On the toes or heels. Good. So yeah, probably patch some socks.
Sounds like you're going to have fun.
Yes.
Love it.
Also, do you know what today is?
It's leap year day.
Oh, is it? Oh, it is. But also, it's our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, not necessarily today, but this episode is like our fourth year.
Fourth year?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to us. What have you been doing?
Not celebrating birthdays.
No.
What have I been up to? I've been meeting with my couples to design their wedding cakes for the upcoming year, although it's not being very fruitful currently.
They don't know what they want, or they're not replying.
They seem to be taking. They're already booked in.
Yeah.
but trying to actually get another meeting with some of them is proving very difficult. They're very elusive. I say, believe it or not, I sent messages at the beginning of January. No reply to a few. I know. And I've just sent another one this beginning of this week. Still no reply. So I've just sent another follow-up before we chatted to see if I can get something going. And
you still want me?
Yeah, I know. Do you know, it's really hard. I don't know why. I've never had like this consistently. Whether people are just so busy or what, I don't know. But you'd think that their wedding might be a priority.
Yes,
and then just trying to get people generally to come back to me. I'm finding it very, very hard. But anyway, okay. I'll plug on. I've had a very delectable root canal treatment in the last few weeks.
I would say this morning. My God, you're doing well.
Yeah, I know. No, it wasn't this morning. No, it was about a week ago. So I don't know whether, did I mention, so I was in a lot of pain just before the Hever Castle wedding fair. I need to go to the dentist because it was, you know, there's a certain amount of pain that you can deal with and then it just shoots through your head.
Yeah.
And I thought, I've got to get through the weekend and chat to couples and stuff. So I went and it was a fill-in that was chipped. So I went back there and that's the result has ended up in root canal and then a crown, which is, yeah, I'm really looking for. So I've got to go back again. But anyway, at least I'm not in pain anymore. Well, I suppose the most exciting thing that I've done is I did an Emily Hankins class.
Oh,
which was organized by the lovely Kelly from Delicious magazine. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. And I have to say hi to Emily because she listens to us.
Oh, hi Emily, thank you for listening.
She didn't recognize me. She, after all that time, I recognize your voice and I didn't put two and two together.
Oh.
Hence the reason I think we were like laughing uncontrollably in the photo that I posted of the two of us.
I haven't seen it yet.
I will send them over to you. But we had a fantastic day. Just amazing. Painting is not something that comes particularly naturally to me. Art like that is something that I really struggle with more than anything. But she makes it so easy. And considering we just literally put paint to the cake, the things that I always struggle with is like the shading and where to put the shading.
Yes.
And how to make things look a bit more natural.
Oh, that's lovely. That's really lovely.
Yeah, it's come out really well. That just shows you what a good teacher she is.
Yeah. Yeah, because she is great.
We all came out with really, really good results.
Oh, lovely. How long did that take you?
We were there from 9 till 6.
Okay. So that's like a full day.
Yeah, but it wasn't, well, I mean, it was obviously quite full on, but, you know, it was quite a relaxed day.
Yeah, a comfortable pace.
Yes, and we had a nice lunch. It was in Maidstone, so that was lovely.
Oh,
so
perfect.
For us, it was like a, I don't know, 20-minute drive.
Yeah, which makes lovely. All the difference, doesn't it, when you're doing something that's all day?
It does. And it's not very often that we get classes come down south, particularly.
Not
southeast. It's quite... it's quite hard sometimes. But yes, and then I was lucky enough to go to the DMA Awards.
Oh, yes.
Delicious.
I didn't know you didn't know you were going. And then there were pictures of you there. I was like, Sam, you didn't mention this.
That's because I didn't know I was going.
What happened?
I didn't know I was going until the night before. In fact, actually, yeah, the night before.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there was a couple that had dropped out and they couldn't make it, so there was space available, so I popped along.
And being just down the road, it was even better.
It was, yes, at Leeds Castle.
So was the Emily Hankins workshop part of the awards sort
she
of
was she was up for an award, which she won. And so as part of that, Kelly had got her to come down and do teaching the day before. Likewise,
Arati Midri.
Yes, everyone calls her Arati. Came down the day before, and she did a 2-day class before that. So that was going on in the room next to us.
Ah, okay.
And we had we were in with Emily the room next door. So I have got a lovely, it was an absolutely lovely evening, and it was lovely to catch up with some people, meet some new people, walk around not really knowing anybody, realised how much I don't spend my time on social media actually. Aww. Finding people. Met this lovely, lovely lady, only briefly, because Kelly had done this amazing thing by which she put out place names.
Yeah.
And on the back of the place name, it had a name, and you had to go and find your partner.
Oh, so I'm trying to think.
I had Hansel. So I spent ages trying to walk around the room, trying to find Gretel. But alas, I never found Gretel. If you found your partner, then the cards went into a draw and you could win a prize.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
So it was. And it was good to get people up and moving and stuff.
Yeah.
It was very, very good. And everyone looked absolutely bonkers, like shouting, have you seen Han Solo? Or have you seen Mr. Jekyll?
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the format of the evening?
So we started off. Right, let me have. I've got a huge, gorgeous, glossy mag here.
Oh,
yeah, no,
like a program.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I can tell you exactly.
Lovely.
Yes, we had David Close come along as well, judge from CI. So we've got lots of judges. Hang on, meet our presenters. So the order of events for the night: 6 o'clock arrival and reception drinks, mingling and photos. 7 o'clock dinner served in the main dining hall. 9 o'clock the DMA's awards ceremony part one begins. 10 o'clock interval, desserts and tea/coffee served.
Nice.
10:30 the DMA awards ceremony part two. And then at 11:30, the after party disco and dancing until 1 a.m.
Oh, okay. Very
so,
nice.
So my plan was not to stay late because I had something else going on the following day. And I was going with another cake maker. And she's got small children, so she didn't want to stay too late. So that kind of worked, and I think we ended up, I think I got home about 11:45 in the end.
Okay. So, didn't really do much of the party.
Well, not the after show. Okay. Party, no. I can't remember what it was that I was doing, but I just knew, I knew that I couldn't, I was having to take my son football or something stupid.
Yeah.
So I was kind of pre-booked to do stuff, but you know, it'd be rude not to go. It was a really, really good event. Hats off to Kelly; she did a brilliant job. It's a lot, I think, for one person to organise. Yeah. There was ladies that came over from India.
Wow!
To the awards, yeah, she did really well, and I can tell you what the categories were.
Oh yeah.
I won't go through all of the winners and stuff because there's so many. Hang on a minute, let me find the
I've seen a lot of it on social media of people going, oh my god, I won.
Yeah.
a lot of people went.
They did, yeah, they did. Well, I think we got a lovely goodie bag. And in the goodie, one of the things in the goodie bag was a cake stand from Prop Options.
Oh, wow.
A little, it's only a small kind of stand. You know, you could put, I think you could probably put a dummy. Oh, let me, I did take a photo of all the goodies that I got in the bag. Hang on. Let me send it over to you. I know. For a surprise evening. Exciting.
Yeah, it's turned out quite wonderful.
It was really, really nice. Bear with. Here it is. There it is. Send you the goodies.
Lovely.
So we got the little cake stand. I got Vayner. I got a fractal paste colour.
Yeah.
Squire's Kitchen icing whitener. A fractal royal blue dust. And I got a black fractal pen, edible pen. And a stencil.
Mm-hmm.
And a box from the lovely Olba, who I spoke to.
Nice.
So Ruff was there. He was very excited. So we had a Floral Sugar Artist of the Year. We had Cookie Artist. We had a Cupcake Artist. We had Edible Sculptor. We had Cake Designer of the Year. We had Finishing Touches Supplier. So that was between Burnt Island, Occasions, Prop Options and Olba.
Oh, okay. That was quite good. They're all good nominees, actually, I feel.
They are good nominees. Now, this one might ring a bell. There was a one to watch. A one to watch 2023, yeah. Modern Artist of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher slash mentor.
Nice.
Edible Painter of the Year. And People's Choice.
Okay. So you've got like pretty much every skill is covered, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hold on. There's more. Hall of Fame, online community, best product. I think is that it? Sugar modeling. Oh, God, it's not it. So I told you there's quite a few. Sugar personality. Imagine being called Sugar Personality.
Oh. Who was in the running for that?
Danielle Critch. She won. Okay. Rosie Cape Diva, Dawn Butler, Vicky Tether, Anna Remigio, and Zoe Hopkinson.
Okay.
Sugar Auteur. That's too much of a word that I have to have to look up.
Is this a category or someone that's been nominated?
No, that is a category. This award celebrates the sugar artist who has a distinct and personal style and whose work is instantly recognisable.
Okay.
There you go. Let me see. Beginner Sugar Art. Sugar Art of the Year. Cake Artist of the Year, and I think that is it. I think I'm at the end.
That is very comprehensive.
It is, isn't it? Mm. Oh, Tutorial of the Year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, it was nice, actually. It was very nice. No airs and graces, you know.
Yeah.
People were absolutely lovely. Everyone's chatty. It was a really good night. And, yeah. I hope Kelly does well with it.
Yeah,
she's definitely, it's definitely going to be another one next year.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I've stupidly entered Salon Culinaire.
Oh.
Yeah.
When is the event?
24th of March. The exhibits have got to be the Sunday and Monday. Hang on, 24th. 24th and 25th are when you can take the things up there. So I think it's the 26th and 27th. It goes in the week. It's not like
of March.
International of March. Yeah.
Okay. And where is it?
It's at the XL.
Oh.
London XL. So it's close. It's close. And yeah, which would be quite good. But obviously I haven't got much time. And I entered about last Friday.
Okay, don't tell us anymore. You can tell us next month and then you won't be
If there's anything in, if I actually submitted anything.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Right, tell me, what have you got new stuff?
I have got Karen Davis, a mini flower something mold. I can't read my writing. Hang on, let me go to my internet. There is miniature flowers silicone mold, and there's a miniature flower border silicone mold. So these are both small blossoms. The miniature flowers one is individual blossoms. There are some roses, some daisies, some, I've just clicked on it and it's made the picture tiny, some leaves, what looks like carnations, different sizes of daisies, different sizes of roses, a dahlia. Some are really tiny and some are reasonable size. The individual flowers, it's £14 for the lot, and there are, how many do you get? 14 individual flowers and two leaves on that. And then the same flowers you can get, well, the same style flowers, not all of them, you can get in a row, so you could use them for like borders chain, on things. Yeah, like a chain, yeah. So you've got daisies, you've got roses, you've got, well, I think they are all actually daisies or roses, just different sizes. And then one leaf, but you get sort of between five of the large flowers or about 9 or 10 of the smaller ones in a row.
Yeah.
And they've used them in quite nice ways. So they've put them around the cake. They've also made like little swags with them. I'm sure I've seen someone cupcakes. They've done writing with them, which actually looks really nice. They've done roses and written rose with
it,
which looks really cute. Yeah, the mini roses. I think that looks really cute. And some they've written mum and that sort of thing. So I think if you're not writing massively long words, I think that'd look quite nice. And that one is £18.50.
I quite like the chain, actually.
Yeah, I think they're nice. I think they're nice for a quick thing. Because especially if you were doing like the writing with the roses, you just need to do that. I've done them in pink. You just dust them over lightly with another colour to catch the edges. And then that's it. Looks good.
Yeah, it does.
Mm. I'm sure I've seen them on cupcakes as well, where they've done like little circles around the edge of the cupcakes and like a circle of flowers.
Yeah.
And into the cupcake and that sort of thing. But it doesn't seem to be on their website. So maybe I'm imagining that. Maybe that was something else. But I thought I'd seen it.
We believe you.
Yeah. And Dinky Doodle have got a load of new kits, which are launching soon. So they've got their, what did she call it? Her Easter, no, spring, wasn't it?
Hang on.
Spring something weekend.
Oh.
Spring demo weekend. And it is, I don't know when, 24th and 25th of February. So that has just launched. And on that, there is a Fabergé egg kit, a wheelbarrow kit, a hanging basket kit, an improved handbag kit, an open and closed book kit, and an open and closed round box kit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so she's added a fair amount of new kits to her range, which is exciting. Mm. What have you found?
I have found, Yellow Bee, so Vicky Tether, has launched some new soft contour brushes. So obviously she's renowned for her animal creations.
Yeah.
And she's created these brushes particularly for doing that work. They are a set of five, I believe.
Okay.
So for the set of five, it's £15.50, or you can buy them, they're £4.50 each. But actually on her website, which is yellowbeecompany.co.uk, she's got a whole heap of brushes, actually. Look quite nice. So it's worth actually having a look if you're into that and want to have some brushes. They're quite stumpy little brushes that are really good for, like, you know, getting into areas like the eye sockets and stuff.
Yeah, they look, at a glance, they look like they're going to be the silicone ones, but they're not. They're actual brushes. So if you imagine that sort of shape and size, but with an actual brush tip rather than... Yeah, really nice.
And then the rows on the cake have got a Peter Rabbit cake painting live demo. So this is Lou Vincent, and it's on Friday the 15th of March. So this should come out just before. So if you wanted, this was on Instagram, I saw this. So whether it goes live on Instagram, I don't know. But I think it's worth having a look at. It looked really sweet, actually. I really
her painter's cakes are incredible.
They are. They are. Haven't had her as a one to watch yet.
No. Is that coming? Yeah. Off the list.
Yeah. I like having a list. And then we've got Lizzie Lou, came through on my emails. They've got a new turntable. This is what confused me, and Erica had to put me right. It doesn't take much to confuse me. With a stop function. So it's a very elegant black painted metal cake turntable.
I would say lacquered.
Well, it's black.
Lacquer finish. Like shiny black.
It is. And it's... So they do suggest that you can use it as a cake stand as well. And I think you probably could get away with it as a cake stand. It's very nice. But it has a stop function. Now, I envisage, you know, spinning a cake round and suddenly there's a button, you press it and the cake stops. Maybe you find it flying across the room. But no, Erica's got the right idea. It's more of a kind of a lock function where... you can lock it into place whilst you work on your cake. So there's no chance of it spinning while you work.
That yeah, there popular. Is there is no go button and a stop button.
No, it's just lock. And I've got a remote control with it as well.
Imagine the state a remote control would get in once you've been working on a cake on a turntable.
This is why I don't design turntables, Erica.
I think it looks very nice as a turntable.
It does.
Because you don't get many metal turntables anymore, do you? They're quite hard to come by. So no, I think
I've seen a
that's
couple some... recently, but this is one that I've seen the first one I've seen with like a stop lock function.
But it looks really attractive, and it absolutely you could use it as a cake stand. I think it looks the part.
So that's £80.
Okay.
So, but it's an investment, isn't it? It's something that you'll use all the time.
And it's also metal. It's not plastic, which is more expensive to ship and more expensive to make. And
it doesn't tilt. Thank you.
Yeah, and it will last you longer being metal.
Yes, yes. That's all of my... oh, no, it's not. I've got another one that's come through from Lizzie Lou, which is a new online class they've got with Shell Bell's Cakes.
Okay.
And it's a French macaron. Do you say macaron or macaroon? Whichever class. That's £45. So at least you can go back and watch and rewatch should you like to.
Yeah.
Something like a macaron.
That's quite a reasonable price, I feel, as well, actually.
It's not bad, is it?
No, not bad. At all.
So, quite like an online class. So that's all of my ones to watch.
No, it's not.
No, it's my new stuff. I haven't got to ones to watch yet, have I? We've just
not yet.
Right
not
to
yet.
The very end, and we're done. Goodbye. So go on then. So we've decided we're going to be quite environmental today again.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about palm oil.
Yes, there'll be lots of rustling because I've got lots of paper and lots of notes.
Oh, crikey.
I've got three pages of notes and one page of other bits.
Excellent.
Well, I wrote quite big.
As you know, I got a bit kind of slap happy on the emails and sent a few emails out. I think I've only got one reply, though, out of all of them.
Yeah.
I got two replies. One went through my work email, but that's because I speak to Colpit that way.
Okay.
But yes. So shall we talk about what actually palm oil is first?
Yeah.
Because that might be an idea. But... So do you want to start or shall I or what would you say?
Shall I, if one of us starts and then the other one can cover off whatever... we haven't got.
Okay, go on then, go for it, Erica.
Okay, so palm free. A lot of things are going palm oil free, and you might want to know why that is and what are the benefits and what are the not so benefits of that. So what is palm oil? Palm oil is a vegetable oil which comes from the fruit of palm oil trees. So these trees, and I don't know why I didn't know this, you know when you see palm trees on holiday, those are the palm trees that palm oil comes from.
Yes.
They look like that. I don't know why. In my head, I had not connected the two. They just had the same name, but that is it. That's what they look like. So you get crude palm oil, which comes from the flesh of the fruit, and you've got palm kernel oil, which comes from the stone of the fruit. So you've got two separate palm oils. The trees are native to Africa, and they were brought to Southeast Asia around 100 years ago as an ornamental crop. And Indonesia and Malaysia supply about 85% of the world's palm oil supplies.
Scary, isn't it?
And then the other 15%, there's about 42 other countries that supply that. So most of it is coming from Indonesia and Malaysia. What is it in?
What is everything.
Basically,
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, so approximately 50% of all packaged supermarket products have got palm oil in. It's also in animal feed, and it's also in biofuel, but not in the UK, but it's quite common across Europe.
Yep. I've got everything from peanuts, donuts, chocolate, deodorant, shampoo, toothpaste, lipstick.
So the reason it's used for all these things is because it's actually very versatile. So its qualities are it keeps bread spreadable, which is why it's in all your butters and that sort of stuff. It has a longer shelf life, or increases shelf life, as it resists oxidation, hence being in all the baked goods. It's stable at high temperatures, so it keeps fried products crispy and crunchy. It's odourless and colourless, so is not going to affect the end look or taste of a product. It's used widely as a cooking oil in Africa and Asia in the same way that we might use other vegetable oils over here, like sunflower oil or rapeseed oil or something like that. It's got a very high yield all year round, so it's a very efficient crop. So what that means is for the land use, for the amount of space you need to grow palm oil, you get a lot, and it's all year round. It also removes oil and dirt, which is why it's in a lot of bathroom products. It moisturises hair and skin, and it makes soaps and detergents bubbly. So it's got a lot of really great qualities. So it's not a bad product. It's actually a really useful product. The issues are more with how or why it's grown. Yeah. I've also said that, or also got notes that it provides millions of farmers and small holdings with a basic income for essentials such as food, water, housing, sending children to school. It provides direct employment for 1 million people in Malaysia and 4 million in Indonesia, most of which are in remote rural areas where there are little other options for employment. So a move away from palm oil would potentially put all those people out of work and into complete poverty, because there are no other options for making money in those areas. That is their sole thing. So a lot of this information I've got from either the World Wildlife Fund website or the Greenpeace website.
We've looked in the same places.
Have we? WWF, so World Wildlife Fund, not the wrestling one. They've got a palm oil scorecard, so you can see how many of the foods are contributing to deforestation. And to be honest, the main problem is animal feed rather than food for people. The problems with palm oil, it contributes to deforestation of the world's most biodiverse forests. So these are habitats of already endangered species like the orangutan and the Sumatran rhino.
And the pygmy elephant.
Yeah. And they've got nowhere else to go. So getting rid of their habitat essentially means that these animals then move more into, I'm not going to say urban areas, but inhabited areas. They're not in the forest so much. And then when they start coming into villages and all that sort of thing, that's when either they end up getting killed because they're endangering people's lives because they want food, or, you know, it gets difficult.
Yeah, they just moved. They're being moved out of their own homes, aren't they,
basically? Yeah, like, and being made homeless.
Yeah.
And also along with that comes their being unable to access food. So it's not that they're going anywhere that's better. The conversion of peat soils to crop for growing releases millions of tons of greenhouse gases. So there is, or there has been, a practice of using peat soil to grow palm oil. And in order to do that, they burn the peat, because the peat is obviously very boggy, and they burn it. And these fires are quite dangerous. They release millions of tons of greenhouse gases into the air and so are contributing massively to pollution and lack of habitat. There's a issue with the exploitation of workers and child labour as well.
Which is quite ironic, really, isn't it? As we've just said, that it relies on, it's work that, that people rely on.
Yeah.
Also exploitation within yeah. that.
Yeah, because I guess when you haven't got any other option, it's very easy to exploit people when they have no other options.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they need the work regardless of the conditions. Mm.
Yeah. Crikey.
Yeah. Mm. So as a solution, in 2004, the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil was launched or created, and that's known as the RSPO. You might have seen RSPO palm oil and things. That set production standards for growers and best practices for sourcing and producing. So this is something that both growers and producers and companies that use palm oil mm-hmm. can sign up to these standards to say, we are going to use palm oil, but it has to meet these standards. Mm. They've created, in their own words, robust policies to remove deforestation, conversion of peatlands, and human rights abuses from the supply chain. So that is their goal, is to create a palm oil industry that does not create more deforestation, that does not burn the peatlands, and that is free from human rights abuses.
Yeah. And being, I like this bit, being transparent. That's
yes.
key, I think, in the source and using of palm oil.
Mm. Yes, exactly. So that companies can buy and use RSPO certified palm oil across their operations and know who you're buying from and where it's produced and under what conditions. And just to give you an idea of the yield, which I think is quite interesting. So tons of oil per hectare of land. If you were to move away from palm oil, you would need so much more land. It says palm is 40% of the world's vegetable oil, but uses 6% of the land to supply it. If we were to switch, you'd need 10 times more land. So if we stopped using palm oil, you'd need 10 times more land than there currently is dedicated to producing oil. So if you had a hectare of land and grew soy, you'd get 0.4 tonnes of oil. For coconut, you'd get 0.7 tonnes of oil. For sunflower, you get 0.7 tonnes. For rapeseed, you get 0.7 tonnes. For palm, you get 3.3 tonnes. It's a very efficient crop.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in 2019,
huge, isn't it?
It's huge, yeah. In 2019, 70% of the UK's palm imports were sustainable. And most of that 30% that were not sustainable are the animal feed. So it tends to be the animal feed where the supply chain is not as clear or where people are not able to trace their palm. So they can't make that decision as to whether it's suitable or not. So that is sort of the biggest sticking point at the moment, is around animal feed.
So do we know how much of the palm oil now is RSPO certified? And how much is just not?
Well, it says 70% in 2019 of UK imports were RSPO.
Right.
70%. And most of the remainder is the animal feed that's coming in.
Okay. So does that mean that we should not be concerned about it? The animal feed part, yes.
Yeah.
But does that mean we should not be as concerned?
Well, I think there is still room for concern, because as soon as people stop demand, it's basically consumer demand is yeah. what drives change, isn't it? And yes, if consumers are now saying, oh, I don't care whether it's RSPO or not, then it will be cheaper for the companies to buy palm oil from places where the standards are terrible, because you have to pay people less. So
if they're buying it from RSPO certified producers, so that continues, should we need to be concerned about those RSPO certified providers? So
well,
how much deforestation is going on for non-certified
Okay, yeah, riders. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I don't know.
Increases.
Yeah,
demand increases. Then the RSPO certified palm oil will need to increase. But then the knock-on effect from that is still deforestation unless they take up the uncertified and make them certified. But then that just seems to be putting a certificate on something where, you know, you've already done the damage.
Yeah, so I watched my partner's got one of the Oculus things, you know, the headset for the games.
Oh,
and
no.
It's like the headsets that you put on, like the VR headsets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not really a game, but there's one by the World Wildlife Fund that's all about conservation. And it's basically like being in an Attenborough documentary, but it's sort of all around you, which is quite cool.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and there was one about deforestation that I watched. It was really good. So you were literally, they had sort of a drone flying over the forest. And that was the point I realised, oh my God, it's palm trees.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it was as if you were in the drone looking down and then you were going along the river and they were talking to farmers and all that sort of thing. And that seems to be what's happening is that they've got representatives in communities where there are issues at the minute and they are converting them to the practice of sustainable farming by making it easier for them to farm in that manner than what they're currently doing, because it will increase their wages, it will increase the security, job security, because the problem is that unsustainable farming will mean that in a very short time that land becomes unusable for anything else. And therefore, they will then have to move and have to keep, you know, redoing. Whereas if you farm in a sustainable manner, then you can stay on that land for a lot longer and you're thereby securing your own future without putting your family at risk. And there was a lot about creating wildlife corridors. So where they've got farms that were old, non-RSPO, where they just like burnt the lot.
Yeah,
they're putting back in wildlife corridors. So it's like, okay, this bit's the farm, this bit's for wildlife. So they're giving the animals, because what you ended up with was patches of sort of wildlife environment and surrounded by big bits of farm, and then another bit of wildlife environment surrounded by big bits of farm. And it was very small patches and the animals couldn't get from one to the other without going through the farms, which is where the issues are being caused. Because either they're dying en route or they're killing people en route. It's just not.
But the problem that I have is that so they've already done so much deforestation.
Yeah.
That it has created so many problems for animals. And I went to Borneo years and years ago, and I went to a place called Sepalok, which is an orangutan centre where they you know, take all these orangutans that have been misplaced and, you know, displaced from their homes.
Yeah.
But it's something that's been going, I mean, that was years ago that I went, and it's still a problem now. And even though the farmers are encouraged to create a wildlife corridor that is suitable for those animals takes years.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not an overnight thing. So even though they plant that up, you could be looking at 20, 30 years before it's actually any good to an animal.
Yes. So
I kind of, I don't know, it's like being in a catch-22 situation where we've just merrily gone on our way, you know, taking out plants, taking out forests, really, really important virgin forests, and putting in palms so we can have palm oil. But there are now options of having, there's a lot of people out there actually that will go and actually look to see if palm oil is in anything and will not buy products that has palm oil in it.
Because
that's the one thing that, having done this, that I kind of noticed is that it's not immediately obvious if something is from a certified supplier.
No, and it should be. That should be on packaging that it's RSPO, you know, certified or not RSPO certified.
Yeah. And also, like, so, you know, like, there was a great big thing years ago when everything was genetically modified. Hmm. And you would get great big stamps on things that says GM free.
Yeah.
But I bet you so many people do not even know about palm oil.
Yeah.
I'm fully unaware of what is going on. And the fact that it is in the other side of the world, just and it's not having a direct impact on
you don't,
our
you
lives.
Don't see it with your own eyes, therefore you're unaware of it.
Yeah, you don't see you don't see the orangutans that are being forced out of their homes because they're being burnt down. You don't see pygmy elephants having to find shelter and food somewhere else.
Like smoke from the forest fires and that
exactly.
sort of thing.
We just go to the supermarket, pick up an item, we buy it and use it. Think nothing of what has actually gone into it. And they don't, you know, it's like packaging, isn't it? It's everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we take for granted, we use, and I'm as guilty as anybody. You pick up and, you know, you use without looking. Is it from a certified source? Is it not? How do you even know a lot of these whether they are from a certified source? And it's you carry about your daily life, not even thinking about it. Mm. And yet we're having this huge impact on the other side of the world. And I just find it incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, and to be honest, although it is the other side of the world, it's also not, because the amount of greenhouse gases that have been released is going to be affecting climate change all over the world. That's not just something that's isolated.
The climate change that we've
them.
Now recognised is climate change and not just, we've got a hot summer.
Yeah. Yeah, but even things like air quality, like that travels, do you know what I mean? It's not.
Yeah.
It's not isolated to just one place, but people in certain places will feel it more than people in other places.
Oh, it makes me angry.
Yeah. So what are the problems then with RSPO certified? We've kind of touched on it already. Problem number one is we're using too much, basically, like you say.
Yeah.
We are consuming far more than we need, and that is driving part of these problems, because yes, we're making it better, but we're still having an effect. We're still using rainforest land for farming. We're still you basically planting a monocrop, which means that there is no biodiversity there.
Yeah.
It's still an issue.
Yeah. And also, I do find, I mean, I've seen so many of these programs on TV where you see the big corporations who will run these kind of places. And actually, there is palm oil coming from uncertified places and filtering through.
Yeah.
And kind of being sold on as certified, and they're not.
Yeah. So it says, this is from Greenpeace, 50% in Europe of the biofuel is used for cars.
Right.
Which is a lot. And yet again, we're using our cars too much.
Yeah.
Problem number two is deforestation. So 24 million hectares, which is basically the size of the UK rainforest, was destroyed between 1990 and 2015 for palm oil and paper production. And that's 2015. That was like nearly 10 years ago. So that's going to be considerably bigger now.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. The displaced wildlife has got nowhere to go. Half of Borneo's orangutans were wiped out in 16 years by illegal palm oil plantations.
Yeah.
And 193 critically endangered species are threatened by palm oil production.
Wow. And that's 193 species that we know about.
Yeah. Yeah. Could well be plenty of others.
I'm going to walk away really depressed after this.
I know. Number four, the RSPO took 14 years to ban destroying forests, and it still hasn't enforced it. So it basically seems to rely on self-reporting and doesn't really have any powers if people say they're doing something but actually aren't. So like you say, how much of it is people going, yeah, we're doing that?
Yeah.
No one's checking up on them. And even if they are checking up on them, what can they do?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, if the RSPO certified palm oil cannot fulfill demand, then are they going to turn around and say, we can't use that because it's yeah. not certified? Or are they going to take a backhander and yeah. just take it anyway, and send it off as certified?
Yeah.
I'm very sceptical about these things because it all yeah. comes down to money.
Yeah. And number five is brands broken promises to clean up and end deforestation. Most still don't know where their palm oil comes from.
Yeah. Right. Well, thanks, Erica.
So, well, where I am with this is that I think you can take RSPO with a pinch of salt. I would say it's an intention rather than necessarily full truth. But also the fact that it's so much more efficient than any other crop does lend me to think that actually you do still need to be using it, because we can't suddenly have, like, what was it? Where's my note? 10 times more land for farming for consuming the amount that we're consuming now. Like, where'd you get it from? Yeah. It's going to be even worse for deforestation. I mean, I guess it depends what you're replacing things with as to whether there are associated human issues as well in terms of exploitation of workers and child labour, because I guess it depends. Like, in the UK, we tend to grow rapeseed oil locally, don't we? I feel like a lot of it comes from England. Are there issues of exploitation of workers and child labour? Potentially. Mm. Is there as much as there are in the RSPO chain? Probably not.
Yeah.
But equally, we don't produce as much rapeseed as there is palm oil being produced. So can you compare the two? Don't know.
Yeah.
Is it more expensive to make rapeseed? Yes. Do you want 10 times more rapeseed thing? Like, the issue is the monocrop, isn't it? You've got too much of the same. Yeah, and by doing that, there's no biodiversity there. Animals can't survive on it. The soil can't survive on it for very long.
Wow. Nothing that we're talking about is happy days.
Yeah. Honestly, this is part of the reason why I've given up making cakes. Because I just don't think, like, this is too much waste to justify it.
Yeah.
To me, it's unnecessary.
But I guess that can be said about a lot of the work that we do anywhere, everywhere.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. So off the back of that, I think we both tried to figure out what brands did what.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
We did. So Sam sent emails. I looked on various websites and then debated. So I thought, I should probably send emails, but it's only a couple of days away, so I won't. It's too late.
Oh, I did that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the one of the things that I found, well, actually, I sent emails because I was slightly confused by some of the product information.
Mm.
So, and I was primarily looking at sugar paste.
Yes, same.
Because it was one of the biggest things that we use as cake makers.
Yeah. And there's been a few that have come out as palm free lately, which is what kind of sparked the whole conversation.
That's what started this whole thing off. So, well, should we start with palm free stuff? Because actually I think that they're the heroes of this. But I've not tried the paste. So I can talk about it.
What have you got as palm free?
So, and this primarily, I have to say, is down to Coalpit. So they've relaunched their Satinara sugar paste. They do have 2.5 kilo and 5 kilo products, which have palm oil in them.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah. And I sent them a message asking whether that palm oil, why they were different and whether that is going to continue. And if that 2.5 kilo and 5 kilo has certified palm oil or uncertified palm oil.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've had a reply back and she had to go and do a bit of digging, bless her, for me.
Yeah.
And she's come back saying, no, I don't know whether it was certified or not. That was not, you know, I don't know that. But the 2.5 kilo and the 5 kilo products are being discontinued.
Ah, okay.
And they will be replaced with the 1 and 3 kilo palm oil free product.
Okay, so they're basically moving over to a whole palm free range, essentially.
They are, yes.
Okay.
And they had, hang on a minute, bear with me. Let me just find the email, because this is the thing that started the whole thing off.
Yeah.
Was an email which said, we have launched some fab new products I want you to look at and hopefully start using them. Create a cake palm free sugar paste.
Mm-hmm.
Single packs. Right, let me just go on to the website.
They're the ones that we talked about last month, weren't they? And our new stuff. They were the little ones that didn't have the white. And that must be because they're using, because remember, palm oil is colourless and odourless. They must be using an oil that has some sort of colour to it.
Right. Well,
hence no white.
There is a white coming on the 8th of March. So watch the space.
Okay.
So there is a white. Well, it must be doable in white, yeah, because they'd already put it in the Satinara. So this.
Yeah, that's true.
So this cake, create a cake paste will have a white.
Okay.
That will be available by the time this goes out. It should be launched then.
Yeah.
But I think they're 250 gram packs.
Yeah.
So they're not massive. Ones, so yeah, unless they bring that out in bigger packs. But the Satinara, yeah, is in 1 kilo and 3 kilo packs. And I am tempted to get hold of one and see what it's like.
What, Satinara?
Yes. Yeah.
I've used it. I didn't like it, but that's just me.
This is the problem that we face, because not all paste suits everybody.
No.
So where do you go if you're tussling inside about whether you go palm free or you go paste that you like and you know works and does what you want,
yeah,
it to do?
Well, I guess the thing is, it's more of a waste to buy paste that you can't use properly, so the product either ends up getting thrown away or not used for its intended purpose.
Mm.
Than it is to buy something and use it completely and the whole thing is eaten.
Very true.
So very true. I would say less waste in total would be the goal.
Mm. Yes. So anyway,
did you find any others that were palm free?
Nope.
Okay, I've got two more.
Oh, what have you got?
So the now discontinued Sugar Paste Direct was palm free.
Yes. Oh, and right, okay.
Yeah. So if anybody has got any SPD sugar paste knocking around, that, yeah, is palm free.
I used to like that paste as well.
Mm. Yeah. And also Saracino sugar paste is palm free. They're pasta top.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I've not tried their sugar paste.
Yeah.
Saracino.
I haven't tried it, but I've heard people enjoy it, so it's the price that's always put me off it, but that is another one that is
palm free.
Yeah, right. What, okay, have you found that was RSPO certified?
So I have found that Couture,
yeah,
is RSPO certified, but the new Couture says it has palm kernel. But it mm-hmm. doesn't state that it's RSPO certified. I imagine that it is.
Yeah, it is.
But it doesn't declare it.
Yeah, they haven't put it on the page where they sell their couture.
Yeah.
But on the page where they talk about it, which is an entirely different page, it says that couture has always and will be RSPO certified.
Okay, well, I'm glad you cleared that one up, because
they need to put it. Yeah, they need to put it on the page that they're selling it on.
Yes. Yes, they do. The sugar paste,
yeah,
contains palm seed, and that is from an RSPO certified plantations.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know that SmartFlex, which also I couldn't find that on their packaging.
I couldn't find it anywhere either.
No.
That was on my unknown list, so I'll cross that off.
which is why I sent them an email. And they, yeah, did get back to us.
So yes, they replied very quickly.
They did reply very quickly. And they are also RSPO certified.
Mm-hmm.
And the other big one that I wanted to find out about was Massa. And that is also from a certified, yes, source.
Yes, so the entire Massa range of Tropic and Mona Lisa are RSPO certified. Also, Renshaw Extra is RSPO certified.
Oh, okay, yes.
But it looks like just the Extra because it's not mentioned on any of the other Renshaw bits.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But why would you get it for one product? Was it saying that, so the other products use
other products oil. Use palm oil, but it doesn't say certified, but Renshaw Extra does say RSPO certified. But why also it's that? it's a different formulation on the Renshaw Extra and the price point's different.
Yeah, but that's disgusting, really. Shouldn't be that way, should it?
It shouldn't, but it wouldn't surprise me that if you're making a more premium product that you would go to better sources.
Yeah, but it should be standard that you use something that is RSPO certified.
It should
purely
be.
Ethically.
Yeah. I agree. And the profits from the higher range should subsidise the lower cost range in that sense.
Yeah, or you change the price accordingly. I mean, I don't know what the difference in price is from something that's certified that's something that's not. But
I imagine it to be similar to be buying fair trade versus not.
Hmm.
That sort of difference, you know what I mean?
But it doesn't give people choice though, because we don't know that what the issues are and why this is. It's almost like being sold sneakily, I think.
Yeah.
To us.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make me a happy bunny.
No. So the ones that I couldn't find out about, what have you got on your not known list?
I don't know. Tell me what you've got and let me find.
So unknown, PME, they use it just says vegetable fat. It does not say what vegetable that is. So that could be palm, it could be something else. Don't know. Doesn't say whether it's RSPO certified or not, so that's a big question mark. Renshaw's, their regular brands that are the non-extra, they all have palm oil in them. They don't say RSPO certified anywhere, so who knows. Mm-hmm. Baco uses palm oil. That doesn't say whether it's RSPO certified or not. Same as Fun Cakes, they use palm kernel. Doesn't say whether it's certified or not. Squire's Kitchen, now they use palm oil, but they are fair trade, so they are covering off the human rights aspects of that.
Right.
I don't know whether fair trade also includes standards for the environment. I suspect it has some in there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say RSPO certified. It just says fair trade. Let me just look up, actually. Hang on. Fair trade standards before we just stop jumping to conclusions.
Okay. Do you know what? I'm thinking that we should come back and do an update.
Yeah, maybe we should.
I think, you know, in 6 months' time or something.
Yeah, okay. So it says fair trade, introducing the fair trade standards. Fair trade standards are designed to support the sustainable development of small producer organisations and agricultural workers in developing countries. The fair trade standards incorporate a holistic blend of social, economic and environmental criteria. The standards contain both core requirements and development requirements aimed at improvements that benefit producers and their communities. Traders are also covered by the standards, underscoring the commitment companies and businesses must make to contribute to sustainability in their supply chains and operations. So I would say that even if it's not RSPO certified, Squire's Kitchen meets those same standards.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's as good as.
Okay. But we could clarify that with them, couldn't
we? Yeah, we could. I think in a roundabout way, it's saying the same thing, isn't it? You need to look after the people that work there. You need to look after the environment.
Yeah.
It's saying the same thing. There's a brand called KAYBEE, that have palm oil.
Yeah.
And that doesn't say whether it is or isn't RSPO certified.
Okay.
Satina uses vegetable shortening.
Satina?
It just says vegetable shortening. So we don't know what vegetable that's come from. It could be palm, it could be something else.
Yeah.
And it makes no reference to RSPO certified or not. And Karen Davis uses palm kernel, but again, doesn't say whether that's RSPO certified or not.
I think that we should come back to this. I think we should send a few emails out and ask, and then we can clarify for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And update so people know what they're buying.
Yeah. So essentially on the palm-free list, we have got Sugar Paste Direct, Create a Cake, Satinara, Saracino.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, RSPO certified is the Sugar Paste, Renshaw Extra, Massa, Couture, Smart Flex, and Squire's Kitchen meets a very similar standard.
Yep. And then so the unknowns.
The unknowns, we have got PME, Renshaw, the regular range, Baco, Fun Cakes, KB, Satinara, and Karen David.
I reckon that's our job.
Okay. Get to the bottom of it all. And, yeah. And also why they've made the decisions that they've made.
Yeah. Okay. So I think 6 months from now, give us a decent amount of time, because it takes people a long time to come back to us. And then as we know, we have to follow up and chase up people.
Yeah.
So yeah, later this year, I think we should return to this and see, because it's going to be a bee in my bonnet otherwise.
Okay.
Right. But however, we better move on to our ones to watch.
Yes, we should.
Right. So do you want to do yours?
Okay, so along the sort of environmental lines, my one to watch this month is called The Seam. So THE dot seam, SEAM dot UK. And this is actually sewing and alterations, but I've been really inspired by what I've seen them do, because they are mostly repairing and altering design items, because that's what people tend to want to pay money to get saved. But there's no reason why you couldn't do some of this yourself on less expensive items. And they basically restore items to a usable condition that have been previously damaged. And the repairs they do are just incredible.
They are.
Like, they've got all sorts of things. So they've got a whole host of different experts in different fields. Some are really good at sort of painting and paint matching. Some it's embroidery, some it's knitting, some it's sewing, some it's bag making, some it's shoemaking. You know, they do the whole range of like clothing and accessories. Mm. And a lot of their videos will show you the before and after. So they've got a video of like a sort of, it looks like a Chanel jacket that's got holes in it and it's been repaired so that you can't even see that it ever had any issues. They've got bags where they've redone the linings of. You've got moth holes that have been sort of sewn in so that you can't see that they ever existed by taking, I think, taking wool from elsewhere in the jumper that you can't really see, but it's a completely invisible repair. You've got shoes that have got, like, the heels have been battered, and you know when you wear high heels and
really
they sort
good,
of
aren't get they?
Caught on bits of pavement. Yeah. And they've restored them so they look absolutely brand new. Same with like rips in skirts and some bags that have got really grotty. They've given them new linings. There's some pony skin boots where they've sort of worn away at the heel, obviously where your trousers rub on them. Yeah. And I think they've painted them in to look like hair strokes, but it's completely an invisible repair. You cannot see.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you cannot see that it's been done. You've got shoes. There's a pair of Hermes heels where the edge is completely broken away, the sort of slingbacks, and they've repaired the bit your foot goes on, that side of the sole, not the sole that's on the ground. They've completely repaired it, so it's you know, looks like brand new. They've got running trainers that have had a hole where the toe is that have been darned, so it's such a good color match that unless you're pretty close you wouldn't really notice that anything's been done.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, fantastic.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
very impressive and really inspiring as to like how much you can repair and how much you can fix. And not all the mending is invisible. Some of it is visible. Some of it there is too much damage to try and hide it. So like they've got a white blouse that's got some damage on one of the sleeves. So what they've done is put some really beautiful embroidery across both the sleeves.
Yeah.
So it's hidden that way.
Yes, it's very good,
but
isn't
it's still usable and wearable again. Yeah, I find it fascinating. And they also do little like meet the maker sort of I don't know what the word is, deep dives maybe, and they'll have one of their makers introduce you that by their name and their experience and what they've done. So one of their makers, I'm just picking Yakshi, is a knitter educator and knitwear alteration specialist with over 10 years experience in knitting, works both machine and hand techniques. She's worked on knitwear development for Alexander McQueen and DKNY.
Yeah.
They're all very qualified and very experienced, and they can repair almost anything. And I don't think that for 1 minute that these repairs come cheaply, but they could inspire, if you've got something that you think is worth repairing, do it.
Yeah. They're amazing.
But also you could use the videos because they show you how it's done. to have a go on your own cheaper items and see if you can fix them. Because if they're at the point where you would throw them away, then what is there to lose?
You haven't got anything to lose, have you?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's really inspiring the amount that can be made to look brand new again.
Yeah. Just shows you, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like. You can sit and watch them for ages, actually.
Yeah, they're really interesting videos, the repairs they do. I mean, even if they're not the sort of stuff that you'd want to buy, just the fact that it can be done, you're like, oh, wow, that's really cool.
It's clever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like it's a really good use of talent that a lot of people don't have. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I feel like a lot of cake makers probably do have those skills.
Yeah.
Because you've got the attention to detail, you can colour match, you can, you know,
yeah,
do fine work.
Yeah.
Give it a bash.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because now I'm getting engrossed in watching it now.
Honestly, I find it so amazing, the repairs they do and the things that you can repair that look brand new. But also, it's kind of made me go, maybe I should go around the charity shops and, like, I always used to buy the damaged clothes when I was, fix it up. But, like, when I was a teenager in school, me and my friends, we always used to shop in River Island because we couldn't afford their clothes, but they had a reduced section of all the damaged clothes that were reduced by, like, 95%. We got this incredible like velvet jacket like Emma Bunton wears in the Two Become One video in Spice Girl. We got one of those jackets. It was meant to be about £80 and we got it for £7, but we didn't have enough money, so we paid £3.50 each and shared it. But basically one of the shoulder pads had migrated down to the pocket and that was all that was wrong with it. It was like a shoulder pad was like down in the lining. It was like, well, we can fix that. And like got all these clothes, like things with broken zips and all that sort of stuff. So I can replace a zip. That's not a problem.
Yeah.
But absolutely next to nothing. But yeah,
that's brilliant.
Yeah, so there you go. That I is like the seam. The seam UK, the.seam.uk.
Love
what
it.
Mine
I got this morning.
That's fine. There is no time limit.
So I don't know how it even came through my feed, but I did. There was two that I was tempted by. So I will have one another month. But this one is called Butter Blossoms. All one word, Butter Blossoms. This is a lady, she calls herself an artist, a teacher, and a flower lover. Kwan,
yeah,
I believe. Crazy about cake, calm with the flowers, not good at baking, don't like washing dishes.
Fantastic. That's the kind of bio that I like.
That's brilliant, that is. But I'm not sure where she's based. Now, I looked at, so she's got some courses coming up. And when I go into them, the prices were in US dollars.
Oh, that could be anywhere though, couldn't it?
Yeah. So she's teaching, let me just tell you first, she's teaching in Korea in June, sadly not anywhere in the UK, in Indonesia, she is teaching in Malaysia in March, this lady gets about, and in India in July. And it's buttercream work, but the flowers are 3D. In fact, they're so 3D that they've actually been made and placed on.
Yeah.
And there's little kind of, she shows you how she puts them on, but the technique. Yeah. If you watch some of the little reels.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Reels. I'm not quite up with reels, but she shows you how she palette knives them on. And I just love so she makes roses. Let me have a look. Now comes a challenge in trying to decipher the flowers. I think there's, well, actually, a lot of them are roses. She's got tulips, I think.
Just blossoms of different. There's lots of different types of roses, aren't there? So there's like garden roses, like your David Austin type roses,
avalanche roses, and all of that kind of malarkey.
Yeah. They're incredible. Wow.
Do you know what? And she's really good at doing her feed. If you go part way down, she's got a row of 369. What are they? The squares on Instagram? And it's made up a whole 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cakes.
Yes, so that was literally what I was just looking at. And underneath that, she's got her Overseas Masterclass 2024 schedule. And the closest one to us is in Paris in September, 27th to the 29th of September in Paris.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but she's going to Abu Dhabi, Jakarta, Kuala Lumpur, Perth, Beirut, Seoul, Paris and Bangkok.
Oh, she's all over the place, isn't she?
Mm. Truly the tour.
Rightly so. I mean, these are amazing. I don't think I've seen flowers quite like these.
No, they're so 3D. They look like sugar flowers, but they do. Just in a different medium.
It's hugely clever.
Go
and have a look at her palette knife working. Oh, hold on. She's talking. Wait a minute. I'm going to play it.
Pen with a paintbrush. The medium is just ordinary but clean. Oh. Any kind of recipe can be used.
Okay, her accent doesn't give away where she is.
Is that what you're hoping for?
I was hoping. Yeah, I was hoping. Oh yeah, I see. Overseas now it's going to be
Thailand. She's in Bangkok.
Is she? She's fighting bakery, with temperatures as well.
Yeah, bakery in Bangkok.
Wow.
Thailand.
Wow. I'm kind of loving it, really.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Could you come to the UK, please?
Or you could go to Paris for a couple of days.
Or I mean, could go to Paris for a couple of days.
Yeah, that's the other alternative.
There is an option there. just nip over. Go and have a look at Butter Blossoms. She's absolutely fantastic. And I will be following her now.
Yes, so will I.
Yeah. Thank goodness I just found her this morning.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I'm sure I followed her before, but I don't know. You lose track and people don't always pop up on your feed as much.
No, this is true. But anyway, I'm following her now. Brilliant. Good. Absolutely brilliant. Highly recommend you go over and have a look at what she does. So are we done for this month?
I think so.
Because you know how much I love editing. I've now got an hour and a half. I can see how my weekend is panning out, people.
Yes.
So thank you all for listening once again. If you'd like to leave a review anywhere, please, on your usual whatever you listen to us on. I'm so technical. Or just, you know, message us and say how great we are, or anything really. And if you know anything more about palm oil, we can add it into our next podcast later in the year.
Yes, if you have a product that is palm oil free, send us a message and we'll add it to our list for part two. You can follow us online at The Sugarcraft Junkies on Instagram and TikTok. I have been posting hurriedly on TikTok this morning because I forgot to do it.
Brilliant.
We'll be posting pictures that we've been sending back and forth throughout the episode. And we'll be back on the 10th of April with another episode. So we'll speak to you then. Have a good month.
Bye.